The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
What I'm going to do tonight is go to a hadith of Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha alayhi salatu wa salam. Where we can, you know, in a way bring ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. There is a very beautiful hadith on this issue from the Imam where he talks about the true meaning of Iman. What does it mean to be a mu'min? The words that we have here is that the Imam says, لا يكون المؤمن مؤمنا حتى يكون فيه ثلاث خصال. A mu'min cannot be considered to be a true mu'min unless he has, you know, three qualities in him. And then he describes one quality from his Lord, and one quality from the Nabi, and one quality from the Wali and the Imam. Then Imam, you know, elaborates on that. He says, فَأَمَّا السُنَّةَ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. The quality from his Lord that a person should acquire, فَكِتْمَانُ السِّرِّ, concealing the secrets, hiding the secrets or the hidden issues of the people that you come to know. You know, one of the most obvious example for that is when we recite Namaz-e-Janazah, we have five takbirat. Between the fourth and the fifth takbir, there is a dua. And it's a very short, you know, the Namaz-e-Janazah is not really difficult to memorize. You know, I don't know why sometimes people still insist, or why don't we have translations so everybody can keep and read. Please go home and just memorize it. It's not a big deal. After the first takbir, you recite the shahadatain. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. And then we go on. The second one is salawat. Who doesn't remember the salawat? Third one is dua for the mu'mineen. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat. Al-ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Even if you don't remember the other part, that first sentence is enough. Then fourth to fifth, between the fourth and fifth takbir, we have a longer dua, and that is for the mayyit. There is a phrase. You know, we say, oh Allah, this mayyit is your servant. He's come to your prayer in your presence. And then we say, Allahumma inna la na'lamu minhu illa khayra. Oh Allah, we don't know anything about this person except good. Now, majority don't even know what they're saying anyway. So they are forgiven. But those who understand, they think, oh, Maulana, how can I say this? I knew this fellow. He was my buddy. And you tell me that I stand there in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has testified that, oh Allah, I don't know him, know anything about him but good. Isn't this a lie? So sometimes, you know, doing ijtihad without proper quality, this is where you get into trouble there. You know, I can't say this. Well, this is where we have been told. And the whole wisdom behind this is what? We are told, the ahadith that we have, that if a mu'min or mu'mina dies, and 40 mu'mineen stand up in the janazah, and they testify that, Allah, we don't know about this person anything but good, you know him better. And then the dua goes on. If he is a good doer, Allah increase his goodness. If he's a sinner, forgive his sins. So it's not just that one line. But we are told in the Ahadith, because of that one statement of 40 mu'mineen, who probably knew the Mayyid, but they say, Allah, we don't know anything about him but good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, well, this fellow mu'mineen are doing satrul aib. They are concealing his defects and his, you know, weaknesses. If they do to one another, then I am sattarul uyub, therefore I am going to forgive his sins. This becomes what we call bahana. This is one way that Allah looks for the excuse to forgive the people. 40 mu'mineen do, you know, make the statement. Allah says, okay, I forgive you. And so this is where we have to realize that when we talk about this first quality that Imam Radha alayhi salam is saying, that try to acquire this quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kitmanu sir, of concealing the hidden weaknesses of the people. This is one of the signs of iman. Then the imam, the eighth imam, goes on. He says three qualities. He said a mu'min cannot be a true mu'min unless he acquires three qualities. One from Allah, one from Rasul, one from the imam. So that was about kitmanu sir, first one. The second one, wa'amma sunnah min nabiyyihi. The quality that a person, a mu'min, needs to acquire and build on that from the Prophet is mudaratun nas. Mudaratun nas means to be gentle with the people when you deal with people. To be kind with the people. You know, there are so many examples. The Prophet, in his mission of conveying the message of Islam in Mecca, tried hard, but this success ratio on that was not that good. Mostly people were opposed to him. You know, they used bad language, labeling him. You know, the whole process of socio-political boycott was there. He even tried to go once to Ta'if, another city near Mecca. And there, actually, the elders of the city told the youths to stone him. So they was, you know, pick up stones and start hitting him until he actually, his feet were injured and he was bleeding. Even under those difficult situations, dealing with the people who are enemies, what was the dua of Rasulullah? Allahumma ihdi qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamoon. O Allah, guide my people because they are ignorant, they don't know. He's still praying for their hidayat and guidance. Even if you look at the conquest of Mecca, you know, the Prophet signed the peace treaty with the mushrikeen of Mecca in the sixth year of the Hijrah. After a couple of years, when they violated one of the conditions, which was an important condition, the Prophet told them, according to treaty, you have two options. But they refused to, you know, follow any of those two. And so the Prophet said, this is the violation of the treaty. And he organized an army of 10,000 soldiers. And he marched towards Mecca. The people of Mecca realized, you know, didn't realize his strength by that time. They just, in a way, surrendered. There was no battle. And the conquest of Mecca was peaceful. The Prophet gathered the people of Mecca, gave a speech, and he says to them, you knew me from my childhood. You knew my background. Yet when I brought the message, what did you do with me? The way you treated me. To the extent that you planned to kill me, I was forced to leave my own hometown and migrate to Medina. And then we had a peace treaty and you violated that. What should I do with you? It seems they have read the story of Yusuf and his brothers. They said, you know, we are like the brothers of Yusuf and we expect Yusuf of our time to, you know, forgive us. And this is where Rasulullah, in spite of all these difficulties and problems that he faced from the people of Mecca, at the end he says, technically he could have made each one of them his own personal slaves, because there was no war. According to the Sharia law, if the Nabi is there, you know, and the conquest was peacefully, technically if he wanted, he could make them his slaves. But he says, go. اِذْحَبُوا أَنْتُمُ الطَّلَقَاءِ You are free slaves. You could have been my slaves, but I'm making you free. You go. And so this is where we see, you know, this concept of him being رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that even when he is dealing with enemies, if he can find a dimension by which he can be forgiving and merciful, he does that.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim Karimun Adi Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه